From the halls of every school in Michigan, this is School Talks on 760 WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy. Sponsored by Wakely Associates, Plant Moran, Real Point, Collins and Plaha, O'Reilly Rancilio PC Attorneys at Law, Clark Construction, and by Must Construction Careers. Now, take your seats. Class is in session. Here's Robert.
This week on the program, we have a powerful lineup of guests featuring Jennifer Mefford, the director of Must Construction Careers, one of School Talk's newest sponsors. Also joining Jennifer from Must will be Prudence Rose. Also, we will chat with Felicia Weissman from Membership Development and the treasurer of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 58. Joining her will be Joe Scott, the training director at the Detroit Joint Electrical Apprenticeship Program. And rounding out our discussion today, we will chat with Tom Randazzo, an electrical and energy instructor at the Oakland Schools Technical Campus, talking about all things electrified. All this and more coming up. This is School Talks on 760 WJR.
This is School Talks on WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy.
Joining us now on the program, we have Jennifer Mefford and Prudence Rose from Must Construction Careers. Welcome to the program, ladies.
Thanks for having us.
Before we begin today, I first want to thank you very much for coming on board as a sponsor of School Talks. I had an opportunity over the years of connecting with you through schools, mm-hmm. and have had an opportunity to work with Prudence in recognizing all of the work that you do with the different trades mm-hmm. in Michigan. And I can't think of a better forum for us to begin a series of conversations about what opportunities are available for school children once they graduate high school and go out into these different sectors. And I think a good place to start would be to give you, Jennifer, an opportunity to tell our listeners what is MUST and how does it connect to schools and opportunities for students.
Sure. So MUST is a really unique collaboration of all of the construction employer partners in the region across all the different trade groups and their labor unions. So it's all construction. It's all folks that exclusively use union labor. And every trade is represented. And they come together under MUST to do a couple of things. They've always provided drug and safety training and drug testing for the industry. That's a very high quality standard that we offer as a workforce. And also a lot of outreach in terms of what careers are available across the trades, not only on the field side of trades, but also within our construction firms.
And, you know, in your role as Director of Communications and Prudence, in your role as Apprenticeship Outreach, you two seem to be very well positioned to represent the whole package of opportunity for students. And in that lens, Jennifer, what resources do you offer specifically for students as they try to explore a career?
Yeah, so I think it's really important that we help schools have this conversation with students and parents about the trades and what those careers really look like. So we've put together resources from our site visits to connecting them with folks in the industry to chat with, but also a resource guide that's right on our website, mustcareers.org, that really gives them information and connectivity to all of the different apprenticeship schools. Their questions are very basic at that point when they're exploring careers, and typically we find, Robert, that they want more to talk about more than one. Mm-hmm. So that's why we kind of bundle it up as an industry, because there's a lot of different ways they can pivot in the industry.
You know, in my time as superintendent, one thing I appreciated about career and technical education is it so often helps students realize what they don't want to do.
Yes.
As much as it drives them to a particular industry. Yeah. So your commitment to helping them explore, I think, is very relevant. You hear a lot of chatter nowadays about students who go to college, get a degree, and end up not using it somewhere.
Sure.
Just because the dots didn't connect or what have you. So in your line of, through the website and whatnot, are there specific pre-apprenticeship programs or partnerships with employers for job placements?
Yeah, so we expanded our career outreach, which I know Prudence is going to really talk in depth about of what we do at the school level, but partnering with employers and industry on offering pre-apprenticeships, what we found, and I think that this will resonate with you, is if you don't have any experience in the construction industry at all, it's very hard to see yourself in the space or understand what it's really like to be on a job site. Mm-hmm. So pre-apprenticeships actually provide a great key role in delineating whether this is the career path for someone or if it isn't. Mm-hmm. So we do work with employers that are in our network, but also other employers in the community, large general contractors, et cetera, to provide those types of paid work-based learning opportunities mm-hmm. for high school students as well as adult learners.
That's fantastic. So Prudence, let me ask, from a student perspective, do you provide support in helping them build resumes or templates or other support mechanisms to help them take a step into this?
Sure. One of the things I do, Robert, is I go to all the different schools and I talk to the students about how they get into a union construction trade. I can give you a little bit of the background of how that is. You have to be 18 years of age or older. You have to have a high school diploma or a GED. You have to have a car and a driver's license. And you have to be 100% drug-free. These are the main criteria for getting into a trade. But when I go there, I have a lot of teachers who ask me to come there and talk about resume building and to talk about interviewing. I go in depth on the interviewing with a lot of the students, and I'll interview them right there in front of their peers, and we'll do little interview sessions, and we'll do a little bit about resumes and how they can build it and what should be on it. But my main goal is to educate these young students as to there are 22 union construction trades and which one are you well suited for? Mm-hmm. Not which one makes the most money, but which one do you think you would be good at?
Mm-hmm. You know, that really resonates with something my dad always said, and that is the best job is the one you like. Mm-hmm. And when you consider a trade, I know so many union folks in trades that it really is their passion. To be able to do what you love to do really makes it not really work, you know, when you get up and go every day. So in the spirit of that type of support you're providing students in the school setting, I would assume that most of that is done through different career and technical education programs in the schools.
Right. There are some schools that have CTE programs, and there are some schools that do not. Mm-hmm. I visit both of them. I talk to students from 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th grade. Sometimes I've gone and talked to little 7-year-olds in second grade.
Sure.
And I've had them ask better questions than the seniors, believe it or not. You'll get their input as to what goes on with that.
Fantastic. So we're currently with Jennifer Mefford and Prudence Rose with Must Correction Construction Careers, talking about opportunities for students. As a follow-up to working with students, does the program in any way provide scholarships or grants or opportunities for students to take that next step?
So the way that our education is structured, it is an earn while you learn opportunity. So the baseline for coming into a union trades apprenticeship is really very nominal or nothing. So frankly, it's an investment that the employers and the labor unions make back into their talent pool. Mm-hmm. So we will at times, with certain grants, give stipends for things like work boots, construction clothing, textbooks, things like that once they're in the program. Mm-hmm. But their entry level point is very low. Mm-hmm. So we think that's a huge, huge opportunity. You're not looking at college debt. You are graduating debt-free. You don't have to have all those financial resources to get going. You do have to have, of course, that passion and commitment to getting that program finished. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sort of walking parallel to the traditional student leaving high school, do you offer services for people who are already working and want to change careers or transition into something?
Yeah, we do see that quite often. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you mentioned it right at the open of the show that everybody in Michigan got the message of go to college, go to college, go to college, mm-hmm. and everybody did. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those folks' degrees are either too broad or there isn't a market there when they're out of it. So they're either underemployed or not working in their chosen career pathway. Mm-hmm. So we see a lot of folks come into the apprenticeship cycle after they've actually graduated from college. That is not uncommon at all. finding us later after they've maybe worked a little bit or gone to community college for a couple of years, even many that have a bachelor's degree. And that's what it is. It's really, for us, it's all education is great post-high school. Just make sure it's connected to a career and a job.
And, you know, I've known this just through people I know in the trades and whatnot. Sometimes your very best employees are those who have been out of high school for a time and actually found their path through one mechanism or another, and it's almost like a calling for them.
Sure.
Prudence? Yeah.
I work with a lot of community groups that they are not high school students. They are adults that are looking to change careers or find a career. So I've done a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we do at Must is something that Jennifer started a few years ago, and it's called the Must Roadshow. And we bring educators in from all the different counties to experience what it would be like to be an apprentice. They get to do some hands-on things. And I've taken it a little further. Now I'm bringing a lot of the schools in. Groups are coming in, and we're doing hands-on at like the electrical training school and the different training schools where they can come in and they can experience what it's like. And they're high school students, 11th and 12th grade.
And you know, I just want to add one thing. I could find you 10 of my closest family and friends who would agree with the fact that you can never find a plumber. You can never find an electrician.
True.
And what I think is really important is we set out in this partnership with Must, one of my goals on the program is to continue to showcase all of the different trades that are part of this. And for our School Talks listeners, there is a plethora of trades, many of which people might not even be aware of. Let me give you a few examples from your website. There's asbestos and abatement workers, elevator constructors. In fact, we had to come up here to the eighth floor. Cement masons, operating engineers, sheet metal workers, sprinkler fitters. All of these are individual and highly focused trades that are part of this opportunity.
And they all have their own training schools.
Right.
So that's where I take students. I take them to the roofers. I take them to the painters. I take them to the operating engineers and the different sheet metal workers. They love going there.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, one appreciation I have for this partnership is when I was superintendent, we would, through our building trades program, buy a piece of property and work with a construction company to build the frame of a house and dig the basement and such, and then our students would finish the rest of the house. We would sell it, take the money and buy another piece of property and keep that cycle going. And that is really the opportunity for a student to see all of these different trades at work, or if not all of them, a substantial portion of them. So again, I want to thank you for your partnership and support with School Talks. This certainly is the beginning of an opportunity for us to showcase all of these trades and the opportunities for school children. And I appreciate your time on the show.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Coming up after a word from our sponsors, we'll chat with Felicia Weissman and Joe Scott from the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 58. Stay right there. This is 760 WJR.
This is School Talks on WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy, sponsored by Wakely Associates, Plant Moran Real Point, Collins & Plaha, O'Reilly Rancilio PC Attorneys at Law, Clark Construction, and by Must Construction Careers. Once again at the head of the class, Dr. Livernoy.
Joining us on the program is Felicia Weissman, the Membership Development and Treasurer of Local 58, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. And joining her is Joe Scott, the Training Director of the Detroit Joint Electrical Apprenticeship Training Center, located on 11 Mile Road in Warren, Michigan. Welcome to the program.
Good morning.
How are you doing? Thank you for having us.
So I appreciate your time today. This is one of what I hope to be many segments that showcases the different trades available through Must Construction Careers and the partnership we have with them here at School Talks. So I think the best place to start is tell us a little bit about the apprenticeship programs you offer and what trades do they cover in the mix of the electrical world, so to speak.
Well, our apprenticeship covers three programs. We have construction, inside wireman, we have sound and communication, and we have a residential program. Mm-hmm. The Insight Wireman program is a 5-year program. The Sound and Communication is a 3-year program, as well as the residential program. It's also a 3-year program. Mm-hmm.
And are all three of those programs required of someone to become a journeyman electrician?
That is correct.
Okay, so you have to do all three of those.
Yeah, the Insight would, we would get you to a level where you're actually a journeyman Insight Wireman. We want you to acquire your license. Same with Sound and Communication. We want you to be an installer tech. And then advance forward after that. And then same with residential. We want you to acquire your license after you're done with the program.
Mm-hmm. And are these programs done independent of one another, or can you be in more than one at one time?
They're independent.
So it is sort of a sequential process where after, is it 5 years?
Yes. The Insight program is a 5-year program, but most of the time people want to, you know, they have to find their niche, you know what I mean?
Right.
A lot of people, either you just want to do residential work. You know, construction inside wireman, the definition basically that is we do commercial and industrial type work. Mm-hmm. You know, residential, you're going to be basically working on houses, maybe smaller hotel units and things like that. And then there's the sound of communication, which is you're not working on anything over 50 volts.
Oh, okay.
So,
I see. All right. So, do your apprentices earn a wage during the program?
Absolutely.
And does that wage increase over time as they continue?
Absolutely. They earn a wage right away the day they start working for a signatory contractor. They're earning a wage. Typically, on average, if it's on a 2-week cycle, you'll take an apprentice and they'll work 32 hours 1 week, they'll work 40 hours the next week. The 32 hours is to accommodate for the 8 hours of training that you'll do every 2 weeks. As you progress through the apprenticeship, basically you start at a percentage of journeyman scale, and then you'll increase every year, maybe like a 5% increase every year, until you get to the point where you're close to journeyman scale, but not quite there till you complete that bar, like acquiring your journeyman's license.
Mm-hmm. You know, the way you've described the amount of training and hours and years it takes to get to a journeyman status makes me appreciate, on another hand, how dangerous it can be that there's so many do-it-yourself opportunities.
Yes.
You know, you go to Home Depot and they have a couple of pictures on how to install this or that. And if you don't understand some of the basic principles of how electricity is grounded in that, you can get surprised in a
hurry. Yeah, well, Robert, YouTube makes everything look easy.
I'm telling you, a 5-minute video to wire a house, that's a really good point. So in the world of recruiting apprentices, Felicia, let me ask you, as the membership development coordinator, what kinds of outreaches or advertising do you do to attract potential apprentices to the program?
Well, for one of the things, like you say, we're always out at the schools in the community, just letting them know, because most of them don't know the even process for getting into a skilled trade, mm-hmm. let alone knowing what a skilled trade is, right? So we have our outreach to the different schools, letting them know. Usually we try to get to them before high school so they know once you get there, these are your expectations, you know, finishing high school, you know, at least take 1 year of high school algebra. A lot of the kids think you don't need math to go into the trades. Trades is just work with your hands and you never have to learn anything. It's like, no, there's learning involved, so you know, make sure you make it through high school and, you know, take your math. The different variety of things you can do once you go through one of these apprenticeships. You know, for us, if you're going through a 5-year program, you get your journeyman's card, and we tell people that means you can actually journey. Yep. You can go any place that IBEW is and be able to work, not have to fill out a job application, take a test. You know, you'll be able to work where IBEW is, and that's one of the great things about being a union apprentice.
That is the gold standard. So we're currently with Felicia Wiseman and Joe Scott from Local 58, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, talking about not only the training center and apprenticeships, but their connection to MUST Construction Careers. And let me ask, I could ask directed to either of you, what percentage of your apprentices, to your point, once they become a journeyman, actually find full-time work in their field?
Well, I would say all of them. I mean, your goal is to be a licensed journeyman.
Mm-hmm.
And when you turn out from the apprenticeship school, you top out, turn out, whatever it is, you basically work through the union hall at that point. So you sign the book and you go out on referral. So that gives you, like Felicia said, the opportunity to travel, to stay employed, or stay local and stay employed. You know, our main objective is to man our jurisdiction. You know what I mean? So if the hours are here in our jurisdiction, working for our signatory contractors, we want those hours. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Everything counts, benefits, and everything of that nature. So every apprentice has the opportunity. When work is great, like it's been the last 10 years or so, work is there. Work is available. So,
and you know, you make an important distinction as it relates to working for the union. They can be dispatched anywhere with regard to a project that might be working either in the city. And I think parallel to that, do you as a union ever get involved with sending your members to other states where there's been national disasters, like a flood? Or tell us about that, Felicia.
Yeah, for sure. Our members, whenever there's a disaster situation, whatever, the other IBW locals will reach out. They got a network, and they'll let them know, okay, this is what we need. You know, we're going to need this many more to try to, you know, get over whatever the situation is. So our people are always going out, whether it's storm duty and, you know, collaborating with DTE and our other IBW outside local, or, you know, traveling to Puerto Rico. We have Electricians Beyond Borders, and they do those types of things, you know. Well, you know, one of the good things about once you're coming into the apprenticeship, you have our contractors, and you're going to be working for one of our contractors when you're in the apprenticeship. Once you come out, a journeyman, like you say, turn out, top out, whatever you do, you're still going to be working for our contractors. Mm-hmm. So one of the things I always tell my kids, you never have to find another job. The jobs come to us,
right,
and we dispatch them out. So,
and it's a fantastic opportunity. Let me have a question, sort of make a distinction here. Is there some difference between a journeyman electrician and a master electrician?
For most of us, it's a matter of going the extra step, going the extra mile. You know what I mean? There's levels to our organization. You go from apprentice to journeyman. The next level is to basically get your master's. The next level is to maybe get your contractors. The next level is to maybe be a project manager or estimator. Right. So there's many facets to our organization that you can go through. Most of our people, it's a point of pride to get their master's. But it doesn't change what you can do. There are a lot of great electricians out there. A master's license doesn't necessarily separate you. It just means that you went the extra step, did the studying, took the tests to acquire your master's.
Mm-hmm. And that, you answered my question. That is, what is the extra work needed to get to that level? And if it's testing and certification.
Yeah.
But let's be clear, from an opportunity for students to get to the level of a journeyman electrician, you have a job waiting for you through Local 58.
Yes, you do. We encourage students all the time to make sure that you stay employable. And the way to do that is to invest in yourself and your career constantly. You know, our career, we never stop learning. We never stop educating. As much as our trade evolves, so must we.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Felicia Wiseman and Joe Scott from the Local 58 International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, I appreciate your time and sharing the opportunities for not only students but others who want to pursue a career in the electrical field. I appreciate your time today and keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
After a word from our sponsors, we'll chat with Tom Randazzo, the electrical and energy instructor at the Oakland Schools Technical Education Campus. Stay right there. We'll be back right after this.
School Talks on WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy.
Joining us on the program, we have Tom Randazzo, the teacher of the Energy Electrical Technology Program at the Oakland Schools Technical Campus. Welcome to the program, Tom.
Glad to be here.
So in your work at the campus with students, what does the program that you teach offer for kids?
The program is electrical and energy. And what we offer is an education in the energy industry fundamentals. And we spend about half our time doing that. This course is sponsored by Consumers Energy and DTE. And basically, we teach them all the fundamentals about how power is generated, how it's transmitted, how it's distributed. And that's half the class. The other half is the fundamentals of electrical wiring.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where the hands-on part comes into play.
Oh, neat. Now, do you dabble at all in renewable energy?
Yeah, we touch on it for sure. It's a big part of our energy program, where we differentiate between renewables and non-renewables, mm-hmm. and you know, we talk about their efficiencies and how they are blended into the current grid as it is.
I see. You know, in my time as superintendent, we had our career preparation center. We partnered with DTE to put solar panels on the roof, mm-hmm. And generate electricity for the school, so much so that some of the energy is actually going back to the grid, depending on the conditions and whatnot. So that was a neat opportunity. And I know DTE has aggressively pursued that footprint with lots of schools. Is there anything like that that you're aware of in the Oakland Schools model?
We have a solar field right outside of our campus. And we use that as a teaching tool.
Oh, fantastic. And those are the ones that are down on the ground, sort of slanted upward toward the... Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. So in your program through Oakland Schools, who is eligible to come there and take this class?
All high school juniors and seniors that are in the southeast portion of Oakland County are eligible. I think we service maybe 18 high schools, uh-huh. and they bus them in, and they spend either the morning or the afternoon with us.
So, and the other part of their day, they're back in their home school.
Yes.
And then they come there. And I imagine some of the coursework that's offered there is countable for their graduation requirements, obviously.
Yes. Our class counts for three classes, actually.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Wow. If you do that for 2 years... That's a nice opportunity for kids.
Yeah, it's a nice elective, yes.
And through that process, if you stay the full 2 years, what certifications can a student possibly earn while taking your program?
First-year students will earn a certification in OSHA, the 10-hour program, OSHA 10. Second-year students will earn OSHA 30, the 30-hour program. Yep. We also offer a certificate in energy industry fundamentals. And we're looking at perhaps a bucket lift certification and CPR. We're not there yet, mm-hmm. but that's where we're going with certifications.
Fantastic. And OSHA is the Occupational Safety and Health Administration?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That provide those parameters.
Yeah.
Within your program, what career pathways does it support? I mean, I know obviously it's electrical, but what specific pathways does it support?
There's several pathways to the point where it's almost confusing for the students which way to go. But we have them look at the, of course, the union pathways, Local 58, who we heard from, as well as Local 17, who are the outside electricians, IBEW. And I also work hand-in-hand with a lot of the local contractors, the non-union contractors, mm-hmm. too, are always looking for apprentices. And so we have one contractor, Michigan Solar Solutions. They've taken several of my students, and they're learning how to install solar panels and working in that field. And so, yeah, there's between union and non-union pathways, uh-huh. that there's several,
yes, fantastic. We're currently with Tom Randazzo, the energy electrical technology instructor at the Oakland Schools Technical Campus, talking about their program and the opportunities for students. Tom, I want to go back to, you mentioned some of the hands-on experiences available. Tell us a little bit about how students spend their time in the shop, so to speak.
Well, we start the semester out with, we have them build what's we call stud trainers. And what they are is they're 2x4 construction that replicates a rough framed house. And then from there, I have the students install circuits, different kinds of circuits. We start with a simple switch and a light. Then we go to perhaps a ceiling fan. We go to smoke alarms, two-way switches, three-way switches, all the basic wiring fundamentals. We actually, working with Romex and conduit metal tubing, mm-hmm. we actually do it in their little assigned workspaces. And what that is for most students, it's like maybe a 4x8 area.
So it's almost like a laboratory in a sense.
You could say that, yes.
Yeah, fantastic. Mm-hmm. Are there internship or work-based opportunities for kids as a outgrowth of this kind of experience?
There is. For second-year students, if the students are lucky enough to come into junior year, and they want to do it for a second year, we offer what's called work-based learning. I guess it's kind of what used to be known as a co-op,
yeah,
where in our case, the student would work 4 days a week, part-time, minimally 2.5 hours, which is the time they would spend in the classroom, and then report to class 1 day a week. And we have several local contractors that do, in fact, take my students. Ray Electric, for example.
Oh, yeah.
The past 2 years, they've taken 4 of my students as work-based learners. And it's a great opportunity for them.
And these students, they're literally entering the workforce running, based on the experience you're providing them.
Yes.
And if they're able to connect with a good mentor in the field, mm-hmm, that really becomes a wonderful opportunity.
Yes.
For our School Talks listeners, you mentioned at the start of this that your campus is for the southeastern portion of Oakland, mm-hmm, County. And I understand there's a northwest program. Are there any differences between those two programs as it relates to your curriculum?
Yeah, the northwest campus in Clarkston, both of our programs are, in fact, actually the same. And the instructor out at the northwest campus is Bill Ray, and he and I, we collaborate quite often on how we our students are progressing, mm-hmm, and the programs we roll out. And so as much as we possibly can, mm-hmm, these programs are the same.
So if I'm a parent listening to the program today, what would be the best way for me to help my child get enrolled in a program like this?
I would say talk to your high school counselor. And I know we have counselors on our campus that reach out to all the local high schools, and there's a, you know, there's a relationship there that you know that seems to work pretty well. Also, we have a website that the students can access as well.
Okay. And is there any cost associated with this program for the student?
Absolutely not.
So it's just a part of their high school curriculum if, mm-hmm, they choose to come there for a half day.
Yeah.
Let me follow up on that. You mentioned that they spend half the day. What, for a student who attends the AM session, say, help me understand when they arrive, when they leave, and what their day looks like.
The morning session starts at 7:50, and it runs till 10:20. And then the afternoon session starts at noon and runs until 2:30. So they're spending 2.5 hours either in the morning or the afternoon.
Sure. And, you know, and in a 6-hour school day, that really is about half the day.
That's half the day.
If you throw lunch in there or whatnot. So, mm-hmm, Tom, you got a great program here with a wonderful opportunity for students. And I appreciate the opportunity you're providing them to connect with really relevant jobs that are in the field in electrical and technology and whatnot. I appreciate your time on the program, and keep up the good work.
Thank you.
School Talks on WJR is sponsored by Wakely Associates, Plant Moran, Real Point, Collins and Plaha, O'Reilly Rancilio PC Attorneys at Law, Clark Construction, and by Must Construction Careers. Now let's get back to class. Once again, your host, former Superintendent Dr. Robert Livernoy.
As we close out today's program, I'd like to give you some thoughts on the importance of organizations like Must Construction Careers. As you may know, students in public schools in Michigan are afforded numerous opportunities to explore career paths while in school, and high school graduates have numerous pathways to embark on through meaningful careers in the construction industry and beyond. And with organizations like Must Construction Careers playing a pivotal role, students in Michigan schools have a wonderful opportunity in front of them. Consider this. Must Construction Careers is dedicated to linking individuals to apprenticeship opportunities within unionized construction trades and their contractor partners. These apprenticeships offer a unique earn-while-you-learn model, allowing participants to gain hands-on experience while receiving compensation. The apprenticeship duration typically ranges from 2 to 5 years, and it really provides students an opportunity at a solid foundation for a lifelong career in the construction industry. High school students can enhance their prospects by enrolling in construction-related courses while in school. And as you've heard on School Talks for many, many times, such courses like shop classes, building trades courses, and any number of the career pathways that support and strengthen their future in the construction trade. And let's not forget, as they go through these programs in high school and have this real-world application, it only strengthens their math and science skills. Their proficiency in subjects like chemistry, physics, algebra, and geometry are highly beneficial as they feed into the various disciplines that are often represented through Michigan construction careers. Also, as many students obtain a driver's license, it becomes an additional opportunity for them to go out in the workplace and maintain that punctuality and reliability at a job site, which, if you ask anyone who owns their own business, are qualities that are highly valued in the industry. Also, to assist students in exploring construction careers, schools can collaborate, and they do so well with MUS Construction Careers, to provide resources and connect students with professionals in the field. Through numerous workshops and initiatives, they offer valuable insights into the diverse opportunities within the construction industry, including roles in project management, estimating, design, and the skilled trades. And if you're a parent of a student, there are various local events and programs that are designed to introduce students to construction careers. For example, through one of School Talk sponsors, Clark Construction, they have a program within their company titled Women at Work that helps promote and expose females to opportunities in the construction industry, which continues to strengthen not only Clark Construction, but the industry at large, especially as it partners with MUS Construction Careers. So it's no secret that Michigan schools, in partnership with great organizations like MUS Construction Careers, offer a wealth of opportunities for high school graduates to pursue rewarding careers in the construction industry. And leveraging apprenticeship programs through MUS Construction Careers enhances the relevant skills and engages students in any number of local opportunities that helps them embark on a fulfilling career path that combines that practical experience with continuous learning and advancement. So the next time you hear someone say, "I can't find an electrician," just know that MUS Construction Careers has something to say about that. And with that, I'd like to thank our guests, Jennifer Mefford and Prudence Rose from MUS Construction Careers, Felicia Weissman and Joe Scott from the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers Local 58, and Tom Randazzo from the Oakland Schools Technical Education Campus for an absolutely fantastic program today. That's all the time we have, but remember, there are two ways to spell one, and three ways to spell two. Till next time, this has been School Talks on 760 WJR.